right, who wants to learn about the wise men and the lessons we can take from the wise men? Because I don't want to get rid of Christmas. Yeah. I was thinking about what to talk about today, and I don't think the wise men get enough talk about. So today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to learn about the wise men and the lessons that we can learn from these wise men. Matthew is the gospel that gives the account of the wise men. You're going to find it in Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Let's go ahead and read that, and then we'll start diving into this, because there's some questions that I have. I don't know if any of you have questions about these wise men, but I do. You guys ever read the Bible and are like, wait a minute, there's some missing pieces here. Anybody ever? Yeah. We're going to go through some of those missing pieces and kind of have fun with it today. All right, so Matthew 2, 1 through 12 is where you're going to find the story of the wise men, also known as the Magi. And it goes a little something like this. Matthew 2, verse 1 is where we'll start. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him, because he was the king, right? When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." That's from Micah, by the way. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Wink, wink. Worship? I don't think so. Verse 9. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. There's the story of the wise men, aka Magi. Who has heard this story a million times? I counted it up. I'm 47. I did the math. 1,000 at least probably is how many times I've heard this. We all of us, a lot of us, a majority of us in here have. But as I sat down to talk and think about the Magi and to prepare for this sermon, there were some questions, as I've alluded to earlier, that I was like, wait a minute, there's some things here that I really would like answered, but I'm probably not going to get those answered. But do you guys want to hear the questions that I thought of and the research I did? Of course you do. Here's the thing, side note, when you read scripture, read it, let the Holy Spirit talk to you, and then there's going to be questions that you have. You may not ever have those answers, but it's okay to have questions and to say, hey, wait a minute, this is fun, and then to talk about it to other people. Like Tosh gets a lot of my questions like, hey, where did they come from? Hey, how far did they travel? All those kind of things. It's fun to delve into scripture and have those conversations with other people. So some of those questions that I came up with was, and I was wondering, pondering these things. Where did they come from? Where was East? How long then did it take them to get to Bethlehem, Jerusalem, then Bethlehem? Who were these people, really? How many of these people were there? There were a lot of things that were mulling around in my mind, so of course I did some research. Okay, here's what I found out. Magi comes from a Greek word, magoi. That's my Greek right there, which describes a wise man and priest who is an expert in astrology, interpretation of dreams, and other various other occult arts. These people were not Jewish. They were Gentiles like us. They were pagan people. They looked to the skies and the heavenly realms to answer questions about human behavior and things. And I think it's very interesting. I could spin off and take this as a sermon. I'm just going to drop this little nugget, and then you can think about it this week. The two groups of people who saw Jesus first were shepherds who were Jewish, abiding by the with their little flock of sheep. Yeah. And the wise men who were not Jewish. They were pagans, Gentiles, didn't necessarily believe in God at all. Those were the two groups of people who found Jesus and adored him and worshiped him first. Pretty cool, right? And do you think it was an accident that happened?
No.
Thank you, Silas. Thank you, buddy. It was not an accident that happened that way. But I digress. All right, so that's what these people were, okay? This is who the Magi were. We really have no idea by looking at Matthew how many of them there were. How many of them do you see in nativity scenes, like the one we have out in the thing, out in the foyer? How many Magi do you see? All right, my nativity scene at home, three of them. We don't know. We know it was plural, they. We know it was two, but it could have been more than that. We know they brought three gifts, which is, I think, why we do the whole, oh, here's three wise men. We three kings. Anybody ever heard that hymn, that little Christmas hymn? Eh, there could have been three. I don't know. But Matthew doesn't say. He didn't think it was important for us to know the number of them. But I think it's kind of cool to think, oh, there could have been more than that. Or there could have been less. Two of them bringing three gifts. We just don't know. Then we get to the whole, where is East? Where did these dudes come from? So if I were here in Pinellas Park, Florida this morning, and I said east of here, you would all probably come up with a different area, right? East of here could be Riverview, right across the bay. It could also be Melbourne, as I looked at a map, which is farther across in the state. It could also be in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. East is, I don't know, east, right? So we're not sure. But there are scholars who have thought of different places that these guys could have been. A lot of people, a lot of scholarly people, biblical scholars, reference Daniel. There's some chapters in Daniel where East is referred to as Babylon. So they think maybe they came from Babylon to travel across and follow the star. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's great, but how far away is that? It's estimated 400 to 900 miles these wise men traveled to get to Jesus, following the star to get to him. 400 to 900 miles, probably by camel, right? I mean, they're in the desert. I would think they would take camels.
Yes.
Yeah, smart, right? So how long would 400 to 900 miles take on camel? Oh, some people say 3 weeks. Some people say 40 days. We see in scripture that Herod says when you find the child, he doesn't say baby. Was that intentional? Could have been a child. And we read later, if you keep reading, Herod gets all mad that the Magi took another road to get home and they didn't go stop by and swing in and report to him. So he kills all the baby boys in the area 2 years or less. So, I don't know, up to two. It could have taken them 3 weeks, 40 days, 2 years. We just don't know. But isn't it fun to talk about and think about? And then I was like, this hit me this morning as I was going over this. I'm like, oh, stars. Like, I see stars at night. Did they only travel at night? Not during the day? Would that have doubled their time? If they were only, I mean, this is where my brain goes. I'm sorry, people. Come along with me today. I'm sorry. My nativity scene at home that has the shepherds and the wise men at the manger at the same time is probably not correct. But they made it there eventually, but at different times. Who knows, right? What we do know is what I just read for you in Matthew. And Matthew left out details because, well, it's really not that important, I guess, to him. And I'll just find out later, right? You ever done that? Well, I'll just find out later. God will tell me later. And what we do know about these wise men, as I'm reading the story, I'm like, ooh, I could pick out at least four things. I was going to do three because that's just a nice number, right? But you're going to have to hang on for a fourth point. Four things from this scripture that I love and pull out that we know factual things about these wise men that we can apply to our life. Are you ready for these four things?
Yes.
Thank you. First, number one, they saw a new star and they were open to it and went to it. They saw something new. We already talked about who these guys are and how they're experts in the heavenly realms and the stars and the heavenly bodies, I guess I should say. And they saw something new and they're like, oh, cool. I think that's that star Bethlehem that we've heard about from other writings. Let's go check that thing out. Astrology is the study of the movements and relative positions of celestial bodies interpreted as having an influence on human affairs in the natural world. So they saw that and they're like, ooh, that's important. Something's different here, and we're gonna go check it out. Let's round up the camels and off we go to follow this star. They were an expert in this area and they took off for something new. Who here in their life, when something happens new, run to it and embrace it with just vigor? Right? I mean, some people do. That's great. I'm not so much like that. If something new happens, I'm like, wait a minute here. I'm an expert in my own life. And that's new, and I'm not so sure I want to deal with that. So these wise men went to something new, and guess who was revealed to them? Jesus, right? They got to see the child. They got to see Jesus. We need to take that lesson and put it in our lives too. When we see something new in our life, we need to not be afraid of it. We need to not be concerned or super duper cautious, right? We need to see something new and see it as an opportunity and say, oh, that might be an opportunity for God to reveal himself to me in a different way in my life. We need to be open to new things in our lives. Happy New Year. I guess I can tie you the New Year, right? Through those new things, you never know. Jesus just might be revealed to you, and you could have missed the opportunity for Jesus to reveal himself to you and to be there with Jesus at that moment. The second thing, they worshiped. If we look at the beginning of verse 11, what did they do when they got to the house? They saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Was it Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? Oh, I don't know. Matthew doesn't tell us, does he? Did they have a pastor, an ordained minister? Did they have a praise band? Did they have a prayer time? Did they have an offering moment? They didn't have any of that, right? They were just in the presence of this child, of Jesus. Did you happen to know that wherever you are, at whatever time it is, you can worship Jesus? Did anybody know that? It doesn't have to just be right here at 10, from 10 to 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. You don't need an official ceremony. You just need your heart to be in a method or focused on praise and adoration for Jesus. Because that's what worship is. Worship is a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration. It has nothing to do with church or a church building or a time. It just has everything to do with you and you being in the moment with your Savior at that moment and expressing your reverence and your adoration for him. They worshiped. That's number two. Number three, they gave their best gifts. We see that at the end of 11. They opened their treasures, it says, and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. We've heard this a million times, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You hear it in songs. You hear it all the time around Christmas time. Their significance was great, all three of those gifts. Gold was for a king that Jesus was. They were going to the king of the, where's the king of the Jews? That's who they were looking for, right, with the star. Frankincense was a valuable perfume that was to show Jesus' deity, the fact that he was God. Myrrh was expensive and precious ointment, and it foreshadowed his death. All three things were very valuable, very expensive. They didn't just go dig in the recesses of their closet for something, blow off a little dust, throw it in a gift bag, and re-gift something for Jesus, did they? Like maybe a candle or something like that. Anybody have those? They didn't do that. They gave them the best stuff. Do you give your best to Jesus every single day? It's hard to do, right? But man, if we could. We need to give our best stuff to Jesus. What a great example the wise men gave in that area. Don't cheap out on Jesus. Don't cheap out. Give him the good stuff. Give him the best. Give him your best. Another point with the gifts, they knew who they were going to go see. And they gave him gifts they knew he would need. I don't know about you, but some of the best gifts I ever get is when someone knows what I need or someone knows what I would use or what's really going to make me smile, right? It's not the most expensive gift that I necessarily care about. It's when I open the gift and I go, aha, that person gets me. They know who I am. Thank you. I'm going to love this. So they took Jesus those type of gifts. They took gifts that showed that they knew who Jesus was. And Jesus, as a little child, is like, oh, these guys get me. They know I need these things, right? That's our challenge. Give the best and make sure that when we give to Jesus, we're giving him what we know he needs, right? Giving him the best of us. Wouldn't you love it if you could hear Jesus when you gave him something, you gave him your time or talent or you did something for someone and Jesus is like, yep, they get me. My child gets me. That's the kind of reaction and serving we need to do for Jesus. And when we give Jesus our best, and you give Jesus what he needs, he's going to use those things. Trust me. Number four, the last one I want to mention. It's kind of obvious at the end. But in verse 12, we see them, they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, who wanted to worship Jesus. Sure he did. They returned to their country by another route. Simple and easy here. They saw the dream, and they followed the direction of God. It's that easy. They obeyed, they listened, and they didn't go back by the same route. Remember that these are really non-godly people at the time, right? I think they believe in God now, don't they? After seeing baby Jesus, you better believe they do. After how they reacted and the expensive stuff they gave him. I got to thinking about this. I'm like, they probably came to see Jesus the quickest route, probably. They were on a mission, right? Anybody ever been on a road trip? You're like, I got to get there, got to get there, got to get there. They took the quickest route. They're checking Google Maps on their little desert Google thing. And they're like, yep, that'd be the best way to go. But on the way back, if they went by a different route, I don't know. Another thing to ask maybe one day, but Matthew doesn't include it, but maybe it was more dangerous. Maybe it was longer. We don't know. They didn't ask a bunch of questions. They just went about their route. How obedient are we? Are we like that? When God tells you to do something, he reveals something to you, do you ask him a bunch of questions? But it's going to be longer. I'm ready to go home. Oh, but there's those people we'll have to go through. It's very dangerous. What about that mountain? How am I going to navigate around that? They didn't do any of that. They just did what God told them to do. And guess what? Had they not done what God told them to do, the story could have been different, right? God's going to protect Jesus no matter what. Jesus is going to do his thing. Jesus is going to live his life. He's going to serve us. He's going to minister. He's going to die on the cross. We have salvation. But if these magi, these wise men, hadn't done that, it could have been a different story here going later on into Matthew. But because they did, what God told him to do is nice and easy. Joseph just picks up the family and they go to Egypt. Of course, I say that's easy, but it might not have been so easy for Joseph and Mary, but simple obedience will go a long way. And not asking questions and just doing what God tells us to do. It sounds easy, right? Hard to do sometimes. But boy, if we could do that, it'd be better for God and for all and for us and our lives. However God speaks to you day to day, moment to moment, through songs or scriptures or the Holy Spirit moves in whatever way it tells you, whatever it tells you to do or whatever God tells you to do, I encourage you, just do it. It'd be a lot easier. So I know it's a new year today. We kind of went back a little bit to Christmas, but it does kind of all go together, right, with the new year and this lesson that I learned from the wise men that I'm sharing with you today. It all fits together. If we can all do what these wise men did, what a great and awesome and magnificent 2023 we'll have each and every day. If we're open to new ideas, right, we're going to be open to new ideas. Worship when we have the chance. Worship in the moment. Worship whenever you need to adore and show reverence to Jesus. If we give Jesus our very, very best, which is what he wants, that's on his list of gifts that he wants, and listen to God and obey God, our lives will be changed. It's not about the flipping of the new year. It's about every single day. Days that turn to weeks, turns to months, turns to years. And we will see our relationship with God grow and our faith in God grow as we do those things. My challenge for you, obviously, this next week is to reread the scripture, ask questions, have fun. Text me if you want. If you got a question, we can banter back and forth. But ponder these thoughts. Read this scripture over again. Let God and the Holy Spirit talk to you about, okay, yeah, you need to do this a little bit better. Reflect on your life. That's why we get up here and do these sermons. Isn't because we think we sound great talking in a microphone. We do it so that way you can think about these things and make changes into your life so you can have a better growing relationship with God and with that child, Jesus. So today, that's my prayer, that you'll make the changes that you need to starting today and going forward. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you so much for the lessons that we have learned through these wise men and the example that they give us today, God. God, I just ask that you help us to really truly reflect on our lives and put into our hearts the things that we need to do to change up some things, God. We want to know you more. We want to know you closer. We want to follow you more and have a more intimate relationship with you as a congregation, as a church, and as individuals, God. And I just ask that you help us and reveal to us the things that we need to do and the points from this sermon that we can go back and reflect on. God, we love you and we thank you so much for this new year and the opportunity that it holds. We thank you so much for the time that we've had over the last 5 weeks with Advent, God. God, it's been a really great season, and I ask now that all the hubbub is over, that we really just truly focus in on us and our relationship with you. We thank you, and we love you so much. Be with us each and every day and each and every moment of every day to do these things that we need to do, to have you at the center of everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.